This episode is brought to you in partnership with Life Kitchens. Life create kitchens to be lived in, planned around your life and the way you live it. Explore their unique ranges and book a design consultation for a personal and practical approach to kitchens. Visit life-kitchens.co.uk.
The quality is always there, but obviously I think one of our role as well is to advise them where to put their money. So if it's purely an investment, you might focus on the prime areas and try to be much more cost effective on the back areas and secondary areas.
Hello, I'm Carol Annett from Country and Townhouse magazine. Welcome to the House Guest podcast, where I chat with experts from the world of interior design and decoration, the people behind the houses, hotels, shops and brands you see in glossy magazines like ours. If you listen on the Entail app, there's more information and images on the projects and people mentioned. And if you're doing up your own home, hopefully you'll pick up some tips for yourself. My house guest today is Nicolas Roux of Rive Gauche, who specialises in investment properties for high net worth clients. Whether buying a new branded residence or a family home, he offers tips on how to add value to your investment. So, Nicolas, it's lovely to see you, albeit over Zoom. Hopefully we can meet up soon. Tell me about Rive Gauche and the kind of clients that you work with.
Yes, Rive Gauche has been, I've set up Rive Gauche about 7 years ago. I've been in the UK for about 15 of those. And Rive Gauche has been really set up for us to sort of service private clients to design and deliver their project, because usually private clients don't really want to get involved and don't have the time to get involved on their project from a design or delivery aspect. So the reason what I've set up Rive Gauche was really sort of to bring them the best from a creative point of view, designing their project in a very bespoke way, but then the ability to do everything around that project that requires from planning, project management, project delivery. So we mainly work with a private clientele, a mainly our net worth individual, which will not be based in London. So that will be maybe their second or third residency in London. And we will basically manage and design their project whilst they're overseas. So we will do everything from a creative point of view, technical coordination, as well as managing their cost on the timing. So we've got a very vast clientele. Yeah, they're coming from the Middle East, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Africa. Obviously, we've got UK clients as well. It's a very sort of broad spectrum.
And very often you are ending up with a property that is an investment for them. Quite often what you call turnkey. Can you just explain what turnkey means?
Yeah, so most of our clients are, I will say, sort of business people. They've got numbers of business. So everything they do, even on the property side, will be an investment, even if it's a personal residence. So the way we approach every project, and that's the case with most of our clients, is where they buy a property, they will want to make sure they can create value, add value whilst doing exactly the property they want. Usually they will have been on the market for maybe 6 months, 12 months, trying to find a property maybe ready to move in. They can't find exactly what they want. They turn to us to find a property where first they can add value to it and create exactly what they want. So that turnkey investment proposition, it's very much the service we're offering, or we've been offering since the start, which is designing and delivering their project. But before that, there is a level of advisory side when they're searching for their property to review them, understand planning opportunities, can we develop it, can we add value, what the cost will be. So before they buy their property as an investment, they will understand the full implication of the project, and then we can take them through that journey and just deliver it.
And it's not just a case of looking for a property, doing it up, putting it on the market. What you're doing is creating something that they will potentially use themselves, but that will add value. So when they come to sell it, it will have.
Absolutely. Most, especially now, I guess, with the obviously the period in COVID, that sort of process, that sort of buying and flipping properties more complicated, because all the margin are a bit more tightened. The custom construction is going up a little bit as well. So our clients, you're right, they will come to, it's more they're using the opportunities to buy an asset to create their dream property that they want to retain, it could be in London, it could be in the south of France. And then we will make sure that whatever money we invest on the project to create that dream home, it will be able to find that value when it's completed. But usually they will retain it for 5, 6, even 10 years. It doesn't really matter. They just want to make sure that, as you say, the value that they put and the investment they put on the property, it's something they create and they will be able to sort of capitalize on it, really.
And how has that changed over the last couple of years? You know, you say now it's not so easy to buy and flip. Why has that happened?
Because, well, obviously, it's not easy to find the right property deals. Obviously, we're not property finders, so we work with our network, we've got buying agents, you've got obviously agents around London. It's difficult to buy at the right level, because if you want to really buy something, renovate and sell, you need to make sure that you've got the right margin in place to put all your construction costs in, all your planning. Obviously, now you've got new stamp duties going on top of it, plus your development costs. So we become much more selective, because finding that margin, it's more complicated. It's possible, and we've done that a few times already, of course, but it's maybe not as easy as used to be 5 years ago. So I think we have some clients that sort of looking at still having that model of buying, renovating, sell it, and it does work. But there is a number of our clients, existing clients, that investing more for buy at value, hold for a few years, and then they will see what they want to do. They might want to sell it, or they just might want to keep it because their family is going in London regularly, or their children's going to go to school as well. So there are, you know, it's a balance, really.
And you started in project management and development before you went into interiors.
Yes, I sort of did a weird sort of evolution. My dad used to be a joiner. So he's been a joiner making sort of joinery for about 30 years. So I've started sort of working in his workshop, sort of learning how to make furnitures, and it's really interesting. And then after that, sort of my French study was in between the design element and the project management. And then through my careers, when I started in Paris and then London, it was always a bit of a mixture of pure project management, development management, and also some of design. And slowly I've sort of evolved a bit more to the design side. So yeah, it's a sort of a unique sort of journey somewhere.
And did you grow up in Paris? Is that where your father's workshop was?
No, I grew up north of Lyon. So between Mâcon and Lyon, that's where my father's workshop was. And yes, that's where sort of I sort of lived and breathed all my life until I worked in Paris for a few years when I finished my study. And then after that, I moved straight to London. So yeah, I sort of thought I would be in London for a year and I never left, really.
And tell me a little bit about the style of the property. Are we talking about really high-end finish with fabrics and bathrooms, marble, that kind of thing? What are clients wanting now?
Yeah, I think from the quality elements, we're still looking at very high level of quality. So yes, we'll have all marble. You've got layers of finishes, sort of organic polished plasters and fabrics. So the quality is always there. But obviously, I think one of our role as well is to advise them where to put their money. So if it's purely an investment, you might focus on the prime areas and try to be much more cost effective on the back areas and secondary areas. So
what do you call prime areas?
The prime area is going to be your entrance, your main reception, your master bedrooms. If you've got sort of back of house area, secondary kitchen, staff areas, obviously there you're going to be make sure that you'll be more cost effective. Then on your guest bedroom, you're probably going to bring it down a notch as well, depending how important they are. We're doing a beautiful penthouse at the moment in central London where it's an investment, but the family is going to use that. So the level of quality across the prime areas, the master and the guest are the same because all the family is going to use the property. But then we do spend a lot of time to source the right materials that will deliver that quality, but will be still cost effective, if that makes sense. So, you know, you could have any price for a marble from £150 square meters to £800 per square meters, depending on sort of the qualities, the cuts, the size. So we do spend a lot of time to sort of balance that because most of our clients are keen to make sure that wherever the money they invest will be fined at the end of the project. Yeah. So we have a good, we spend a lot of time balancing that properly. From a tile point of view, I will say, especially now, people are a bit more keen to have sort of fresh light interiors, as opposed to maybe 10 years ago, was a little bit darker, a bit more masculine, a little bit more sort of bold. So yeah, I think they're more looking at a fresh atmosphere, something a bit more serene, a bit more relaxed, where they really want to spend time, as opposed to something a bit more closed and darker. So that's sort of what we tend to have at the moment a bit more.
How many of you are there in the team? Do you oversee everybody?
Yeah, we've got a people, about 10 people working here. The way we work, we quite sort of focus on the client, because we are servicing the full project. We are keen to make sure that we can dedicate sufficient time for each and every client. So we tend to work with about 6 to 10 clients a year, really. And I will be involved throughout the process, whether it's from the beginning when we start discussing about the project objective, the design intent, the style of the project, all the way through to discussing cost, project management. I'll always be there to keep that relationship with the clients. It's nice for them to have someone that can follow and sort of take their vision all the way through the project. But obviously my team then obviously we work a lot on the creative part and the project management to support the project for sure.
I'm fascinated also about these branded residences, you know, so if Four Seasons or Marriott, they're creating, you're seeing them pop, you know, I'm hearing about them popping up all over London. I know they have them at the Athenaeum Hotel. And this is becoming, it's quite a change in the way that high net worth people travel. If they don't want to have a second home or a third home, or they don't want the use of a hotel, they go into a branded residence. And I know that you're involved in the creation of quite a few. So tell me a little bit about that market and why you think it's suddenly become so popular.
I think the branded residence answer a couple of key elements for our clients, which is the brand is very strong. So if you work with, you know, brands like such as Four Seasons, they've been fully using their hotels. They love the service. They love the brand. And actually, those branded residents serve two purposes. They have the service of a beautiful brand, and then they have the privacy of their private home. So they are, for them, from a logistic point of view, they've got a property which they own. It's serviced all the time. They've got the beautiful service from the hotel. So if they go for a month, they don't have to do anything. They come in and it's all ready. So I think for our clients, they really like the sort of simplicity of having a number of property with a brand around the world, and then they can move from one to another. And then branded residents from an hotel perspective, I mean, we've seen that for a number of years now, where they used to sort of the hotel and the branded residents next to it, which was quite useful for the developer as well, because with a branded resident on the side of a hotel, you can probably pay or repay a bit of your investment you've done in the hotel much quicker by selling this property. And you will achieve a premium because you will have a beautiful brand as well attached to it. So I think that's where it started. And now we are involving quite a few of those projects, and you see a lot more as well, standalone branded residents. So that's really where developers see the value of a brand from the name perspective and from the service. And then they will attach that to their project. The brand will assist on the operation, and then you've got a private residence fully serviced. When the client's coming, if they want to go to New York for 2 weeks, 2 months, it's there, it's all ready, you've got all the service with you, and you don't really have to worry too much about any maintenance, logistic, bringing your staff over. It's very, very convenient for them.
And how do you go about designing somewhere like that? Because it's not the hotel, but you obviously want to reflect the aesthetic of the brand that you're buying into.
Yeah. When we are working on this project, we have different elements to consider. You obviously consider the setting where the project is. Is it urban setting, or is it more of an escape within the country? The brand as well, and we might be buying that. So the person who will buy those apartments will basically be our clientele, sort of our net worth individual, depending about the location, that, you know, the region will change. And then the brand as well. So we need to make sure that the design narrative that we will create reflects the brand aspiration from a quality element and from a style element. And then we also want to make sure that it reflects the location. So you're not going to do a branded residence in LA the same way you're going to do it in the Middle East. And that's quite sort of a settled balance. So we've been doing projects in the Middle East on branded residence, for example, where you know, we will want to make sure that we still have the very high quality of the brand, but we will sort of bring into the details some of the local elements or the craft. So we've been looking at local architectures. They've got beautiful patterns onto the architecture. So trying to bring those level of details in a modern outfit within the interiors as well. So when you are experiencing the interiors, you see obviously the quality of the brand, but you have a second sort of vision as well of the details that sort of reflect the surrounding and the local area. So I've, that's really what we're trying to achieve. But you're right, you have to sort of think about the brand, think about the location and the end clients as well.
Yeah. So you want each residence to have a different look, presumably.
So yeah, the way, because it's a development with a number of units, the way we will approach it is we'll have the interior architectures and the base built of the interiors the same way. We might have two different color palette depending about the project. So that will be, you know, all your bathroom, your kitchens and sort of your main finishes, but then it's still a fairly blank space. So usually clients, when they come and buy the property, then we will do a second work on the interiors from a joinery finishes. So we really personalize the interiors and can do something very unique for each of the clients.
Yeah. And are there any, just thinking if anyone's listening with a view to maybe looking at areas as for potential investment, are there any areas of London or areas of the UK that you are particularly excited about at the moment? I mean, should we all still be rushing to the East End, or is that kind of, has that had its moment?
So at the moment, we are. It will also depend about what the client's sort of vision is for the investments. If they want to hold, they might look for an area that they really want to live in, that the investment makes sense so they can find their money. If it's more of a flip, they might sort of look at the second areas, like Bayswater at the moment is an area which is quite hot because there's a lot of activities happening, lots of new developments, but still a bit of an untapped area, which is a bit strange because it's so close to Hyde Park. So there are areas like this. People's been looking at Marylebone for a while. It's starting to be a little more difficult to find something right there. So there are some little pockets, I will say, in sort of London, Fitzrovia as well. It's quite a good areas because, again, it's very central, but it's areas that have not really come up to. So I think our client, from an investment point of view, are looking, if they're looking sort of larger development, multi-unit, they are focusing more on those areas. And then a private client that will want to sort of invest in all the property, they're first going to look at the location where they really want to be because they're going to use that property. And then it's just making sure that we can buy it to the right level and put what we need inside to create something special for them, retain the value, and then work on the capital growth.
And if you're looking to do up a house for yourself, I love that idea of looking, you know, you want your hallway to look beautiful because you want that wow factor when you walk in. And then you do a beautiful master suite and your main drawing room, put your money there. And then as you move further out doing the spaces, you can hopefully spend a bit less.
Yeah. And it also, you know, it doesn't mean that because you're going to spend less, it's not going to look as good as the rest. I think there is a balance. Yeah, there is which finishes you're going to specify, how far you want to go to the bespoke element, or whether you're quite happy to sort of try to play with sort of, you know, existing items and retail items. So I think it's a balance, but it does make sense. And we do it personally as well. We'll do our own project because at the end you want, you know, you've got a budget and you know that if you go over that, you're not going to find the value later on. So that's very important.
And also just one last question, because I know that you work with a really fascinating company called Silver Lining that they make very, very bespoke one-off pieces. You know, when you've got your budget from your client, how do you convince, is probably not the right word, but how would you suggest to them that they're going to buy a piece of furniture that is as bespoke as something from Silver Lining, where you're talking, you know, prices... Crikey, I wouldn't even random again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible workmanship.
So, I mean, this is very, as you say, I think there's going to be very unique bespoke pieces. So it's a little bit like putting a beautiful chandelier in your room. I think they need to be seen as exceptional objects. So you're not going to be able to do a full, you know, room with lots of different pieces. It needs to be a unique piece. And then it needs to be you need to find the client that's really sort of keen, understand that work machine, that quality that's going through it to pay that amount of money. And we do have clients like that, but it's becoming more of a guilty pleasure sort of trying to get the most beautiful bespoke pieces that will be right there in the middle of your lounge or really something that you enjoy. So if it's purely an investment, obviously those are rarely put in those projects. But when we're working with private clients where it's a piece that they're going to really cherish and maybe sort of keep for themselves as well, then we can strive to be a bit more special. And that happens on furnitures, on chandeliers, on objects that we create as well, where people are keen to get something very personalized and very bespoke, and we do a lot of those.
It's like anything, you've got to love it. You've got to buy what you love. You've got to live in a house that you love. You've got to decorate how you love. It never works when you're just trying to make a quick buck. Nicholas, thank you so much. I have to say, you're always one of the best dressed people in the interior design world, and I love talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to House Guest from Country and Townhouse magazine with me, Carol Annett. Don't forget to subscribe to the series on iTunes or Entail, where you can also find images, links and notes to enhance each episode. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett. And keep up to date on all the podcast news and show notes online at countryandtownhouse.co.uk/podcast.
And please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. For more news and views in the world of interior design, sign up to our newsletter at countryandtownhouse.co.uk. And why not listen in to our sister podcast, Breakout Culture, with Lord Ed Vasey and Charlotte Fruity Metcalf.